So now we have come to the stanza number 44 of the fifth chapter of Bodhicharyavatara, which is on vigilant introspection. So now how to protect these trainings or this from declining the practices. What to do. So, stanza number 45. And if you find yourself engaged in different kinds of pointless conversation and curious sights, the like of which abound, be rid of all delight and taste for them. What he's saying here is this, that sometimes a bodhisattva also needs to have usually not to waste time in making useless kind of talks or gossips or speeches and things like that. That's supposed to be one of the trainings. But sometimes it's necessary to make useless talk also. Like, for instance, somebody is feeling lonely or somebody is sick and you want to entertain this person. You want to be, you know, kind and nice to this person and give some company. And then you make just useless talk or unnecessary talk or just, you know, talk what he wants to talk about or she wants to talk about. That's good, you know. With that purpose, they say, okay, it's necessary to have a gossip and, you know, different kind of useless, just common talk and speech, and also sometimes one needs to do like jokes or, you know, telling kind of useless stories and things like that, or even performing kind of acts or drama, or participating in many different kind of festivals and things like that. That is necessary if that's something useful and necessary for somebody, for the people, then it's good to do that. But it's important to look at yourself and do not get yourself caught up with this and become addicted to that. So therefore, even while one is participating in these things, you know, not something very useful or productive or, you know, important, then make sure that you don't become addicted yourself to that, or you don't, you know, get too much kind of attached to that, or it doesn't become your, you know, kind of habitual tendency of only doing that. That's what he's saying, I think. Then the 46, and if you find you're drubbing in the soil or pulling up the grass or tracing idle patterns on the ground, remembering the precepts of the Blissful One, in fear restrain yourself at once. Now this is also like mindless activities. Of course, if you have to do gardening, you have to, you know, grow flowers or grow something that's, you know, vegetables or something like that. That's good. That's okay. That's useful. But without any use or without any purpose or without any kind of need, you are, you know, kind of playing on the soil. You are taking out the soil or writing something on the ground or you know, making like pulling the grass, taking just grass like this, or making patterns on the ground, and you know, either disturbing the animals on the grass or in the forest, or actually, you know, like pulling out plants and, you know, disturbing the plants and grasses and flowers and things like that. It's not good. It's not necessary to do that. So this is just an example, I think. So whatever you have to do, try to see what is the purpose. Is there a purpose? Is there something nice? Is there something useful? Is it something kind of benefiting somebody or some in some other way? Then you do it, or yourself. If not, then why do something? And so therefore, and especially if you do something which is somehow creating problem to some things or some beings, then you remember the, especially like for the monks and nuns, the Buddha gave instruction not to cut grass, not to disturb the plants, destroy the plants. So if you need to do that for a purpose, for a good purpose, then you have to do it. But without any purpose, then you should not do it. And you have to become mindful, mindlessly doing things, which is disturbing beings, is not good. That's what it is saying. And then, number 47, when you feel the wish to move about, or even to express yourself in speech, first examine what is in your mind, for steadfast ones should act correctly. So this is, you know, being mindful, being aware. When you want to, you know, like move about, go somewhere, do something, or when you want to say something, you are about to say something, use your speech, then immediately you need to see, you need to watch your mind and say, what is it you are going to do? What is it that you are going to say? The thing that you are going to do, the way you are going to go, the thing you are going to say, is it something proper? Is it something useful? Is it something needed? Is it something harmful or, you know, unnecessary? And if this is something useful and something needed and inspired by some good kind of motivation or aspiration, then knowingly that's how and why you are doing it, you go ahead, do it, say it, you know, whatever, go there. But if you find that it is not like that, there is actually no use, no need to go anywhere, there's no use or need or even not good to do that or not even useful to say these things, then you don't say it. So therefore, you know, becoming mindful and aware of your own, you know, actions of body, speech and mind. And then with mindfulness and awareness, do it in the correct way. And that is the training. That's the training. It's not saying that every action we do will always be like that, but more we can be aware and more we can be, you know, kind of vigilant, you can say, of what actions I'm about to take, and then whether that's necessary or not, or whether it's positive or not, or then the less mistakes we make, the less troubles we make, and more positively we would become. Now there, you know, describes these 27 things that you have to be aware of and should not, you know, should not do, you can say, as if you want to practice Dharma properly and transform your mind to the positive side, then a little bit careful about these 27 things. Now these 27 things, I will try to count them, but it will be a little bit difficult, I think, but let me see. Now it says, when the urge arises in your mind, or in my mind, to feelings of desire or angry hate, do not act, be silent, do not speak, and like a log of wood, be sure to stay. So this is, I think, first two. When my mind becomes attached and clings to something pleasant, such as friends, wealth, and the like, you know, I become too much clinging or too much craving for something. My mind becomes like that, and I act according to that craving. Then, if I find that, then I allow my mind to not react. Like a log of wood. You know, this is based on, you know, the understanding that our thoughts and emotions, you know, are fleeting. They change all the time. They come back, but they go, again come back, then go, and again come back. If I very kind of strongly used to certain emotion, that comes back again and again. But it's not that they don't go, they go and then come back again. So therefore, one way to discipline ourselves, one way to train, is when those kind of negative, you can say, emotions or urges or thoughts, you know, desires come up in your mind, then you delay the reaction. You delay the reaction. When you see this, okay, I'm about to do something, about to say something, about to react in a way that is not good, that's not useful, that's going to create some pain and problem for me and others. So I delay the reaction. And be like a log. Log means a piece of wood that's cut, you know, like a log. The tree cut, and then it's not kind of just lying on the ground. It's not growing. It's already felled. So even the wind blows, it cannot, you know, like move. Things like that. So that is totally unmoving. So I be like that. I just freeze. So this first one is when lots of attachment or desire or too much craving comes, then also I do that. Second, if anger or hatred, lots of that, dislike, aversion, something, I'm going to do something with too much anger, then also I do like that. These two ones. And if your mind is wild or filled with mockery or filled with pride and haughty arrogance, or when you would expose another's secret guilt to bring up all dissension or to act deceitfully, So this is, I think, the third one is when your mind is wild, whenever I'm wild in body, speech and mind, not aware what my body, speech and mind are doing, and particularly when I'm wild because my mind is distracted, distracted by desire, distracted by anger and things like that, then also, you know, when my mind goes wild, then I try to not react. When I find that, that's the third one. Fourth one is when I'm mocking. That is to say that when I wish to make jokes that ridicules others, that I'm kind of doing something or saying something that will make others feel bad or, you know, insulted or, you know, some way, and that I kind of put them down. If that kind of intention is coming in my mind, or about to act in that way, or if I find that what I'm going to do or act, although not intended like that, might happen or might be perceived like that by others, then I stop acting like that. I stop this process. That's, I think, fourth one. Or filled with pride. That's the fifth one, I think. Pride. Now the pride, we talked about this before. There are seven kinds of prides. And the one kind of pride is that that I am the simple pride, or slight pride, is that I am good, kind of. I'm good. I'm better. And then there is a pride like I'm equal to everybody. This is, I think, simple pride. I'm equal to everybody. The second is I'm better than all these people. I'm much better than all these people. Then third is I am better than the great ones. I'm better than the great ones. I'm really, really good. That's one another. I'm not as good as the greatest, but I'm a little bit lesser than that, but I'm very good. That's also a pride. I am, you know, this kind of the thinking about myself, you know, having this is the subtlest of prides, maybe you can say, and that ego clinging, ego. I am something separate from everybody else. I am. And that's also one pride. What we call as the infatuated pride. Infatuated pride means that I think I have those qualities which I don't have. I am not great learned, but I feel I'm very learned. I'm not a great practitioner, but I feel I'm great practitioner. So this kind of, there are seven prides. I don't know whether I met this seven. Pride of thinking me, a separate me. That's the slightest. That's the kind of the most subtle pride everybody has, the ego. Then there's a slight pride, there's a little bit of pride, like I'm equal. Then pride of being greater or superior, that I'm better, I'm superior, and I'm kind of better than the most. Then the great pride, or pride of pride, ngajal ching ngajal. That means I'm better than the best. That kind of megalomia, I think. Then I'm slightly lesser than the good ones or best ones, but I'm still very good. That's then false pride. That is like that was missing in the earlier one. That I am proud of something that I don't need to be proud of. You know? Usually there is nothing to be proud of. It's a bad thing. But then I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud of being lazy, for instance. I'm not proud of being lazy, but you know, I'm proud of being angry or something. You know, for being proud of something that actually there's no need to be proud of, completely opposite. And then the seventh, you feel that you have the qualities that you don't have, that kind of pride. So these are the seven prides. These prides, that's the seventh, I think. And the fifth of the 27. Things that when those things arise in us, then we try to kind of not react. And then there's something more. Haughty arrogance, pride and haughtiness, jagpa. Jagpa is you know, there are five kind of jagpa. Jagpa is what can you say? This jagpa is I think jagpa is yet is haughty, but infatuation. You know, I'm too puffed up because of certain things, you know. You say five, rik, ru, longso, yuanten, and it doesn't matter. Because I am from a kind of a high caste, or I'm from, you know, a big family or good family. I am very young, or I am very beautiful, you know, or I am very rich, you know, things like that. Yes, the five are the family or the caste, the beauty or your body, the youth, the studies or the, you know, you are very intelligent or you have lots of education or something like that, you are by your learning or expertise, and then by your wealth. So to be too much proud of them or too much infatuated with that, when that kind of comes also, then that's I think sixth. And then, in the 70s, when I have the intention to expose the fault of others, I want to, you know, that's it. I don't need to explain that. It is when I cause dissension, when I want to cause conflict or dissension between people, and this kind of thoughts and comes, then I should not react. So these are the 49th, is 49th stanza, and we have gone through the nine dissension, and the ninth one is when I have the thought of intending to deceive others. After I have, this set nine of the, I think I didn't miss anything. These are the nine from the 27 things that we don't need to remember completely, but, just as an example. And probably there are not only 27 things, but there are 27 things that's kind of mentioned in the book. Thank you.